Mark chapter 3. Book of Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. We're going to begin reading with verse 24. Just want to read a couple of verses here, just a very basic line of thought. Just what we might think of as a maintenance type message so that we don't have trouble along the way as a church, as the body of Christ here at Clear Branch. Verse 24, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. We're going to cease reading with these verses tonight. You know, when I was in the first grade, only time I ever had a broken bone in my life, I was on the monkey bars. And again, first grade, there was a kid, I guess he was twice as big as me at least. And he come out on the monkey bars with me. And he just wrapped his legs around me and then took his arms and wrapped around me. And he just began to jump up and down. He was determined he was going to get me to fall. I held on for a little bit. I was kind of proud of that. But, of course, I did fall. And the first thing hit the ground was my arm. And I fractured it. My arm was broken. I went to the doctor and he said, you've got a broken bone. And then he called it a fracture. And I thought, well, if it's a fracture, how is it a break? And I just had, I guess, the definition wrong. But a fracture is a break. It's a break, and the reason they call it a fracture is because it does no damage to the surrounding tissue. If it began to do damage to the tissue around it, they would call it a full break, but it was a fracture. A fracture, I can tell you from experience, causes very terrible pain. I couldn't use my arm. Now, I've seen other breaks, and I have to say I'm glad mine was just a fracture. I've seen other breaks. I've seen some where the bone comes out of the skin. It just, you know, causes a lot of damage. And of course, whenever there's that kind of break, you couldn't stand. If it was in your leg, you certainly wouldn't be able to stand on it. You would be divided and would not be able to stand. Our enemy knows the quickest way to cause us to fall is to divide. The Lord knows that there's great power in the body of Christ. He established His church and He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. So the church is a very powerful thing. All power in heaven and earth has been given to Christ and He is our head. And so the church is a very powerful thing. We have the capability of doing things that no other organization on earth can do. We have a power that the government does not have. We have authority that even the government does not possess. You know, the government cannot take and baptize someone. They haven't been charged to go preach the gospel. We have been charged with the gospel. And we are going to give an account for how we handle the work of God. You know, the Bible says where much is given, much is required. There's been much given to the church. There's been much given to Clear Branch. And so there's much required of us. And so we can't get distracted with other things that might drive us away from the work that God's given us to do. You know, other bodies have been given other assignments. You know, the government is no doubt, the Lord looks down upon governments and he manages governments. No, the king can't do anything that God don't allow. God ultimately knows, and so that's why we pray for those in authority. God teaches us that. You know, we're not just to bite and devour those in authority. We, as God's people, are to pray for those in authority. We're not to put them down. We're not to belittle, but we're to pray for them that God would bless and God would lead so that we could live, he says, so that we could live quiet and peaceable lives. And so we need to get back to praying, don't we? We need to pray without ceasing. We need to pray fervently for our government because right now there's not a lot of peace going on in governments. We need to be much in prayer about that. But our enemy knows The quickest way to cause us to fall is divide us. If you've ever been to a wedding that I have preached, more than likely you've heard about the threefold cord, because that generally is the direction I go. Maybe a few times I didn't go in that direction, felt led to go in a different direction with certain couples, but generally it's going to have something to do with that threefold cord, because he said it is not easily broken. You know, he's talking about how you have more than one. You put three together. You take one string and you can snap it, but you take three strings and you put it together, three cords, put it together, and it's not easily broken. And he goes on and he says, woe unto the man that is alone when he falleth. Woe is unto the one that's alone when he falleth. There's no one there to lift him up. And so the devil knows that. Our enemy, Satan, he knows that. And so he wants to separate. He separates families. You know, there's more separating in families today than they are holding together. According to statistics, and I'm not a big statistics guy, but others are, and I've heard those statistics, and I believe some like 60% of people get married, get divorced now. Separations. Often, the one you marry is the one that you probably argue with the most. Reckon why that is. You say, I love my wife more than life itself, or I love my husband with all of my heart. You ever wonder why it is that we are at odds so often with those we love? I believe the devil knows, if I can get you to fight, if I can get you to argue, if I can get you at odds with one another, then there's an advantage to be had if I can drive a wedge. And so that's certainly what he's doing. That's why we're in these last days, we're hearing about marriage being redefined. And, you know, people just get to a point and say, we're not even going to get married anymore because they know you. She's going to get divorced after a few years anyway. And people just kind of resign to that fact. I tell you what, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. He finds favor with the Lord. But the devil knows, let me drive a wedge between these two. Parents and children, oftentimes they're separated. A lot of times it's by selfishness. There's always been what we call a generational gap. I don't like that term because it shouldn't be that way. But there is, and I think the devil has used that term to drive a wedge between generations, and it should not be that way. When I come to Pastor Clear Branch, I come to pastor the whole church, not just part of it. I'm not just a youth minister. I'm not here to preach to the old. I'm here to preach to the church, as God would give me liberty to do that and allow me to do it. And that's the way it should be. We're together. We are to be together. And so those things that we might look at, the world defines as a generational gap, God has given us the power to be able to overcome that kind of stuff. So we can prefer one another ahead of ourselves so that we can love one another. And so the devil knows, if I can drive a wedge here, it's going to be to his benefit down the road. How much harm do you think distractions are causing in our day and time? Even in your own family, there's probably some distractions there that you know about. You say, yeah, this is distracting me from my family. It's causing me not to have the close fellowship with my family that I ought to. How many mothers, how many daddies, children are alone, even in their own homes, separated by things. You don't have to look far. Go to a restaurant, sit down and watch. People are so distracted. And even whenever we sit down together, a lot of times we distract. I think about if the devil can divide your home, he knows he has a fracture that can separate. Fracture causes pain. Again, just like that fractured arm. It's terrible pain with a fracture. And if you don't get it seen about, it'll be a full break and it'll cause trouble to all the tissue around it, won't it? And so If the devil can divide your home and fracture it, then he can begin to drive that wedge to separate. If he can get you away from the dinner table. You know, you can't really go and... I don't guess you can. I guess it should have looked a little harder before I stood up made the comment. But you always hear about being at the dinner table. Do you sit at the dinner table with your family? You ever sat down and have meals together? Somebody said, well, you know, maybe you can't point that out in Scripture that we've got to do that. But look at the advantage of coming together at the dinner table. To be able to sit down and to talk with one another and to see and to show compassion to one another and to love one another. I know you've heard me say many times that we had a problem when we got off the front porch. I don't guess you got to sit on the front porch to be together, do you? But it, you know, we need to have times where as a family we come together. And we don't just ignore these little fractures that come along. If the old devil can get us to ignore one another again, if he can get us odds with one another, then we'll wonder why in the world didn't we see this fall coming. I've talked to people that's been divorced before, and as they would say, so I just didn't really see it coming. We need to be looking. We need to be looking. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant, because I can guarantee you this, even whether you're looking or not, the devil is trying to drive a wedge in your family. He wants to split it up. You know, look back at Isaac and how that Isaac and Rachel, he loved her, didn't he? The Bible describes his love for her. The moment he laid his eyes on her, he loved her. But they had children. And all of a sudden, they had a difference of opinion. And it's always been kind of hard for me to understand this, but mama loved one child more, and daddy loved the other child more. Now, certainly you take children, and they can be different. I mean, just opposite ends of the spectrum, so to speak. And it may be that daddy might have something more in common with this child than the other, and mama might have something more in common with this child than the other, but as far as loving one another more, that ought not be. That just shouldn't be. But it was so divisive that you find mama in here, she's plotting with her son to try to deceive her own husband. Let me get this son on my side. We'll work together to get this across, to get our agenda pushed. It's sad when you see things like that. Well, it's sad when families are splitting. It's sad whenever we allow wedges to be driven and we get divided. Because, look, you can't argue with Scripture. You might argue with me, but you can't argue with Scripture. A house divided cannot stand. Not for any length of time. It just cannot stand. All right, what about the church? You think about the church. God blessed us with such a wonderful church. And I'm not here complaining by no stretch of the imagination. I'm not even trying to get us to see in that direction that we have some kind of terrible trouble here. But I tell you something, what we do have, we have a common enemy. We have an enemy that would love to let the little foxes destroy the vines. He would love to find something that he could cause us to begin to separate, to drive a wedge. Do you think the devil wants to see this good godly unity we've had? Lord has blessed us through this year. I can tell you he has blessed us so much to come as far as we have. And to still have the sweet unity that we do have. You say, well, maybe we don't have 100%. Look, I don't have 100% with my wife all the time. There's times whenever we're a little bit at odds with each other, but we know how there's something called conflict resolution. Get it resolved. Get it resolved quickly. Don't let it become some major issue. And the same thing, The devil knows the good unity we have here. He knows the blessing this church has been to my family. He knows the blessing this church has been to your family. He knows the blessing this church has been to this community and even to the world, so to speak. You know that just this past month, Sermon Audio and me and Brother Brandon's got sermons going out. And even if you go and look at the itemized list, there's still people listening to some of Brother Adam's messages, some of Brother Clay's that's been put on there. Every month, we had 40-something states and 40-something countries listen to it in 1 month. This church is having an effect all over the world. The devil knows that. And it's not just that. Look, we support missionaries. We've got works been done in other countries. The Lord knows about that. So does the devil. The Lord... Oh, he sees us doing that work. He said, where much is given, much is required. I believe there's some reward that comes along with that. Whenever he sees a church being faithful, doing his work. But then you've got the old devil. You've got Satan. And he wants to see it come to a halt. So he'd much rather me just go home, be alone. He'd love to see us argue. He'd love to turn brother against brother, sister against sister. He'd love that. So he uses anything he can. Anywhere he can get a foothold, you can rest assured he's trying. He's clawing and trying to get a foot in the door. He'll use any kind of differences he can. He'll use pet peeves. He'll use circumstances, whatever he has to use. Now, I tell you what I believe. I believe Clear Branch is stronger than that. We've got a great strength as we look to the Lord. I know that if we'll look to the Lord and lean upon Him and not lean to our own understanding, that'll make all the difference in the world. I want to encourage you now, don't let this house become divided. Don't let the devil have an advantage. No house can stand for long if it is divided. Turn with me over to the book of Psalms real quick. Psalms, I believe it's 33. Psalms 33. Verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There's no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver anybody by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Let's go read that again. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. As we put our faith in Him, as we put our trust in Him, His mercy falls upon us. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You knew I was going there, didn't you? Our great United States of America has been blessed because of our unity. We are the United States of America. Blessed because of the unity we've had in God. God is the one thing that we all have looked to as a nation. And I believe this has been a great God-fearing nation. And the world recognized that. Maybe not so much today, but the world has recognized that, at least in our lifetime. Those at least old as I am in our lifetime, this has been a God-fearing nation. And God has blessed us greatly because of that. And I say a God-fearing nation, I believe this, there's been more that unites us than what has divided us up until recently. Really, up until very recently, it seemed. And it's not just the world that has pushed God away. It's easy to look out and say, well, the world is just taking God out of everything. And you hear, oh, you know, God's been taken out of the schools. And I'll tell you something I believe about that. It's not possible to take God out of the schools if we'll teach it to our children. They take God with them. They take God with them. And I know you can say, well, it's been hindered and they don't get to pray and maybe with liberty. And certainly there's freedoms that have been taken away. They certainly are. But it's our job to train them up, to teach them, and to instill in them the values that we hold very dear. And it's not just the world that's pushing that away. We are His people. And for this is a blanket statement worldwide, as God's people, we've kind of gotten away from faith. Not trusting God like we should trust God. And we've leaned to our own understanding an awful lot. His counsel is not what many people's heart really panting after right now. You know, David made a statement. He said, "My soul panteth after the water brook like the wild hart or the wild deer. My heart panteth after the water brook like that. Or pant after him. I'm sorry. Panted after God like the hart does the water brook." And His counsel is not what our heart is panting after anymore. I say us, but you know, for the most part, we put great trust in man's leadership nowadays. We put great trust in our military presence. And in no way, it's hard to make a statement like that because I know how we feel about our military, and we need to pray for our military. We need to certainly support them. But here's what we don't need to do is put our ultimate faith in our leaders and put our ultimate faith in our country and put our ultimate faith even in our military, because it says here, a horse is a vain thing for safety. It says here that there's no king saved by the multitude of a host, and a mighty man is not delivered by his much strength. We put our trust in God. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. You see, we look at things, our military, for instance, it's unrivaled. We make that statement, and it's often made, our military is unrivaled in all of the world. It's unrivaled. Well, if you look back in history, unrivaled militaries have been conquered before. Unrivaled countries have been conquered before. It is a vain thing for me to put my trust in anything or anyone other than God. Our country right now is not just fractured, it's split. It's broken to some degree. And you may say, well, that sounds hopeless, Brother Brad. Well, listen to me now. Can it be fixed? God can do all things, can He? With God, all things are possible. God can fix our country. He certainly can. And I know you say, well, things are going to get worse and worse and all of that. But God can bless our country. We can see revival in our country. God can revive us again. But we need to be unified in some things. You know what some things are? Humility, in prayer, in seeking His face, and above all, in repentance. Do those things. God said, I'll heal your land. That's what He promised Israel. I believe he looks down upon our land, and he'd be willing to bless us with great revival if we would come together in unity and look to him, humble ourselves. That's hard to do. You look at it one moment, man, it's hard to humble yourself. It's hard to be humble. It shouldn't be. Whatever you stop and think about Brad O'Neill, I'm just dust. I'm just dust. Oh, how I need God. Oh, how I need his leadership. I need to humble myself. I need to spend time on my knees. I need to seek his face. And above all, I need to turn to him. All of my heart. You know, we think of repentance. And we say, well, I don't know of a lot of big sins that I've committed. What do I need to repent of? What we need to repent of is the fact we have not sought God with all of our heart. Whenever we seek God with all of our heart, that's when we will find him. Oh, how merciful our God is. It is time to seek his face in unity. Have you walked away from God? Just a personal question for all of us to dwell on tonight. Have you walked away from God? If you have, seek him for close communion. You don't need to be divided from God. The Lord said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You know what happens when we get divided from him? Just wither up. There won't be any spiritual strength in you whatsoever. Has your family become divided? If it has, repair that fracture. Don't let it become that split, that divide. A house divided cannot stand. Don't let it. Church, unity we have here, it is so pleasant. To Pastor Claire Branch, it's such a pleasant thing. I walk in here and it couldn't be described any better than what the Lord described unity. It's like that oil that run down Aaron's beard, all the way down to the borders of his garments. It's so pleasant. Beware that the enemy knows that. He knows that, and he'll strive to drive a wedge. And let us do our part for our country to be revived. Revival starts with me. We say that, and we generally think about that. By the time we get ready to come together for revival, we talk about how we need to have revival. We talk about, oh, how it needs to start with me. I tell you, I would love to see this country turn back to the Lord. Where's it going to start? It start with me. It start with us. We need to do our part. Let us humble ourselves and pray and seek God and repent and show God that we're sincere. Not just lip service. It's sincere. We want to be close to him. We want to do his work. We want him to use us. You pray for me. I have had a great burden today. I know you know that this morning. Very uncharacteristic me, Steph, just having a speech, so to speak, before church. But it's been a burden on my heart. And it's not because I'm here and I'm trying to say we're in trouble and we're not doing anything right. I want to see us continue to do what God would have us to do. You pray for me. We ask for something.